My guest at this time is Alireza Jafarzadeh. He is the deputy director in the Washington office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. He joined us just about a week ago talking about the latest massive protests in Iran, looking to get answers and force major changes from the Iranian regime, if not change the regime itself. We'll talk a little bit about that in our conversation today, but for the most part, we want to get his reaction to President Trump announcing on Friday that he's keeping the Iran nuclear deal for now, but telling Congress that if major changes aren't made by May, he will in fact scrap it. There are also new sanctions being aimed at Iran as a result of the president extending the deal for 4 more months today. So, Ali, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be on your show, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Let me read just a couple of paragraphs here. This is from NBC News. President Donald Trump on Friday will extend waivers on Iran nuclear sanctions, keeping alive the landmark 2015 deal for at least another several months, despite his past vows to scuttle the deal. Three officials said the waivers will be accompanied by other targeted sanctions on Iran for human rights abuses and a stern warning that Trump will pull out of the nuclear deal negotiated by the Obama administration if fixes are not made by spring. The next deadline for extending nuclear sanctions relief will come in mid-May. So, Ali, you've obviously been a strong critic of this deal for a myriad of reasons, including a lot of loopholes for inspections and no opportunity to restrict Iran's missile program and so forth. So, what do you make of the president, who has already decertified, saying that he'll at least stick around for another 4 months here?
Well, I think what the president has done, he has basically highlighted the fact that, as he had said before, this is not the nuclear deal that he's going to live with. He highlighted the problems associated with the nuclear deal, even though there may have some, you know, positive aspects to it. But the main problem is that the entire nuclear infrastructure of the Iran regime has remained intact. And the fact that there's no real access to the key centers and locations that are actually engaged in weaponization, which is a critical part of building nuclear weapons, and that there's no access to the IAEA, to the military sites where the real deal is, and then there is a sunset clause that at some point down the road, all of those restrictions are going to be gone, and the Iran regime would be free to continue its development of nuclear weapons. So by putting a time limit of 120 days, he's made it very clear that within this period, there has to be made some changes, significant changes made to the nuclear deal. Otherwise, there is going to be no nuclear deal.
Do you think there can be changes made that would satisfy this for you, or do you think it's just irreparable?
Well, honestly speaking, Greg, I think what we, meaning the Iranian resistance, Iranian opposition, and the people of Iran are looking for is not too much investing on the modifications of the nuclear deal and all of that. We feel no matter what you do, the Iran regime is intent in building the bomb. So the real solution to all of the problems there is to see change, fundamental change in Iran, to change the regime. And especially we know where the future regime, the future government of Iran would look like, what they're looking for. The fact that all the major nuclear sites of Iran were exposed by the main Iranian opposition, which is now the main engine for change, is a clear indication that a free Iran, a democratic Iran, is not interested in building nuclear weapons or intimidating its neighbors or developing, you know, ballistic missiles, which has really no other purpose but delivering nuclear weapons. So that's, I think that, I guess, explains why it was so important for the president that on the same day that he said he's going to waive the sanctions and maintain the nuclear deal for another 120 days, he also designated the U.S. government, the Treasury Department, designated a number of individuals and entities of the Iran regime that are not directly tied to the nuclear program, but are tied to the repression in Iran. There are 14 individuals and entities. One of them, for instance, is the head of the judiciary in Iran, Sadegh Larijani. He's the person who's very close to the Supreme Leader Khamenei. He's the one who implements all the repressive measures of the Iranian regime. He's the one who has been prosecuting and putting people in jail, at least 8,000 demonstrators the past 2 weeks. And he has already instructed the other judges to be very, very harsh against the demonstrators. Another entity was the Rajai Shah prison. It's a very notorious prison that is known for torture and horrible things that they've done to prisoners. A number of people who have been detained now during the demonstrations are now in Rajai Shah prison. And also the head of that prison, Ghulam Reza Ziyai, is also designated. The second part of the designation of the entities that the president did today were the entities associated with the Revolutionary Guards, Iranian Revolutionary Guards, who are in charge of the cyber warfare of the Iran regime, those who control the internet, who block social media, who block access to the Iranian people, to the outside world through social media, through internet and other means, making it very clear for any countries, companies, entities that they should not be providing service to the cyber operations of the Iran regime to block the BPL. I think this is a very important measure because the number one problem that the protesters were facing was that their communications were being disrupted. They couldn't just communicate among themselves or send their messages outside of the country. So this is like one step in the right direction. And then the third part of the new sanctions is focused on the proliferation part of the program of Iran, their missile program, individuals and entities that have been helping them. So I think the president showed today that while he's so unhappy with the nuclear deal, he's even more unhappy with the other aspects of the Iranian regime's behavior, namely their domestic repression, their censorship, and threatening their neighbors in the region.
Ali, just one more question before we let you go. Just last week, as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, we talked about the swelling protests in scores of cities around Iran. From what I've seen since then, the protest seems to have subsided a bit, but the conventional wisdom appears to be that the Iranian regime realizes that the hour is coming when something will definitely change there. What's your read on it? Are the protests continuing, and how have the protests changed the way things are in Iran?
Yes, certainly. These are very good questions, Greg. Certainly, the protests are continuing. The reason the regime has stepped up, you know, all the arrests and measures is that they feel if they don't do this, then things are going to actually speed up. They are stepping up their repressive measures, both in terms of social media to disrupt the communications, but also threatening the people. Interestingly, just 2 days ago, for the first time since the uprising started 2 weeks ago, the Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei spoke publicly about this. And even though he implicitly said that, yes, there are some problems, economic problems and all of that, but he made no promises whatsoever to resolve any of those issues. Instead, he threatened the protesters that if they continue this path, there's going to be, you know, harsher measures. He also highlighted the fact that there is an organized opposition that is working, you know, hand in hand and connecting all the dots and leading the demonstrations. It's not just like spontaneous, protests that people just are unhappy with the things. Things are really have a specific direction, which is targeting the entire of the regime. Khamenei said that there is a triangle behind the protests. On one side of the triangle, he said, is the United States. And the other side of the triangle, he said, there are some rich nations in the Persian Gulf area. I think he was referring to Saudi Arabia. And then the third side of the angle is the organized opposition, the Mujahideen Khalq or the MEK, that they are the ones who are doing everything on the ground in terms of planning, organization, directing, and you know, leading the way. And he instructed the judiciary and all the security forces that their focus has to be on this network inside Iran, the MEK, the people who, you know, they work with. He said there is a very widespread network of the MEK, and that's where the focus should be. So his plan is clearly to suppress the population. But this is not a solution. This is not going to get them anywhere, because the discontent of the people arose as a result of huge economic problems. The people see the rulers of Iran, including Khamenei and the people around him, who own, you know, these huge spooky foundations that have billions and billions of dollars of wealth in their hands, as well as the Revolutionary Guards, who the people see as the big thieves. So no matter how much you repress them, the discontent of the people will not go away. The economic situation is not going to get any better. There's no plans for the people, for the government to resolve the issues. There are people, workers, who haven't been paid for 11 months. Even doctors, who were used to get the regular pays, haven't been paid for 8, 7, 9, 10 months. A lot of factories are not working. So this major economic situation is not going to be resolved by just simply threatening the people. So I think, you know, what you'll see is that there's going to be definitely, you know, ups and downs, but the problems are not going to go away. Things are going to get deeper and deeper. And the next time the new round of demonstrations that are going to start, it could be even bigger than what it is. Already 141 cities were involved in anti-government demonstrations, large and small. This is absolutely unprecedented since the Ayatollahs came to power in Iran. It's not just in Tehran, the capital, it's everywhere else. And it's not just the middle class that it was in 2009. It's mostly now the lower class, the poor, the impoverished, those who lost everything. And that's why we feel things are going to only get deeper and deeper. And the more pressure the United States builds against the Iran regime, the more the regime's forces get frightened, the more encouraged the people will get. You want what you want to do. You want to show the repressive forces, the besieged and the Revolutionary Guards, that they are increasingly on the losing side. The world is on the side of the people. That's how you can actually help shifting the momentum in favor of the people and against the regime.
Well, you've mentioned a couple of things that I think it's important for folks to know there, including the fact that the protests go on just because we don't see them as a result of the repression and the exclusion from the Iranian government, and also that by identifying what they see as the enemy here, they've given the people an alternative in some ways. So, Ali, thank you very much for the update, and thank you very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Greg. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Ali Reza Jafarzadeh is the Deputy Director of the Washington Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.